In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. For the next few minutes of the program, Bishop Harry Jackson joins us. We're going to be talking about the Manhattan Declaration, a call of Christian conscience. Pretty modest proposal, if you ask me, especially viewed in light of 2,000 years of Christian thinking and theology guided by Holy Scripture. A simple affirmation of the sanctity of human life, the dignity of marriage as husband and wife, and the rights of religious liberty and freedom of conscience. That's boilerplate Christian thinking for 2,000 years, and yet this has already been called, the Manhattan Declaration has already been called bigoted and anti-gay, I think, by one group, Truth Will Out. So what does it really say, and what are those who have signed it trying to say both to the church and to the world? Bishop Harry Jackson is senior pastor of Hope Christian Church in Beltsville, Maryland. He's founder and chairman of the High Impact Leadership Coalition, and he's one of the original signers of the Manhattan Declaration. Bishop Jackson, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, Todd, thank you for having me. What a privilege it is to be with you and to share about this great document.
This is very modest things for Christians to say, because we've been saying them for 2,000 years. The sanctity of human life, the dignity of marriage as man and woman, and religious liberty and conscience. Why do we need a declaration?
Well, we need a declaration because there's several forces aligned against the faithful proclamation of the Word of God. And we're simply celebrating our unity. We're celebrating the fact that this unity goes across the great barriers historically that have separated us, doctrine, ethnicity, and class. And we need to speak out because you already referenced groups that are calling us bigoted are basically saying that fundamental Christianity, or I should say the basic Christian message, is against their lifestyle, and therefore they think it's unfair. And the fact that someone would repudiate such a document so early shows that we need it all the more. And so we're speaking out now because we are sounding an alarm to the people of the church that fundamental Christianity, and I shouldn't use the word fundamental, what I mean is the bedrock concept of what it means to be a Christian, the great teachings of the great Christian tradition, are going to be challenged in this generation as they've never been challenged before. And we're saying we want 100,000, 200,000, or perhaps even a million people to sign this declaration saying that we are willing even to suffer imprisonment, go to jail, as many are being required to do under persecution in other lands today, if necessary.
The ground has shifted beneath us. The tide, to use another analogy, has turned so quickly, Bishop Jackson, that 50 years ago, a statement like this would have been met with a yawn by most people, and they would have said, of course. Today, it's controversial. So when did things change? Let's start with the issue of life. When did things really change when it came to the dignity of human life?
Well, I think if you go back way beyond Roe versus Wade, back to the summer of Love, Hate Asbury, 1967, there was a declaration of a sexual revolution. There was a major sea change at that moment. I'm an African-American, and I'll speak about that community first. At that point, there were 80% of the fathers of black families were right there in the homes. And there was a push toward trying to get some social justice issues handled, but also dealing with the issue of racism in America. During the redefinition that happened, that brings us now to, if you wanted to go to 40 years later, to 2007 and beyond, you would find that 80% of the black children are now born out of wedlock, only 20% of the fathers in the homes. You find a divorce level that is rampant, and everything that is mirrored in the black community is also happening in the Hispanic community, white community, all communities that are around the nation. And so what we've had is a major fundamental breakdown in the area of the family and a major fundamental breakdown in the roles of men and women in our culture, society. And what we have now is an attempt to redefine major institutions like marriage so that they no longer serve the purpose of God or the benefit of the culture. And I could go on and on, but I simply say that this thing started with a change in people's thinking. Now the people who are resisting and saying this is bigoted want further changes, further thinking, realignment, and they don't think that there's going to be a correlation between their redefinition and what actually happens on the landscape. I just said 80% of fathers in the homes in 1967, and in 2007, only 20% in the homes. And we see an increase in abortions, and I could go on and on and on. But I think that's what's happened in the culture.
Talk about your concerns about religious freedom and freedom of conscience that are expressed also in this document, the Manhattan Declaration.
Well, certainly I cannot speak for Chuck Colson, our leader. I was one of the men privileged to actually talk at the press conference on last Friday, and so I'm honored by that and have been designated somebody as a spokesperson. But my concerns about religious liberties starts with the fact that certain laws that are passed now, even the hate crimes law, which I don't want to see anybody hurt, harmed. I'm against all violence against individuals, and I think that's sinful. But at the same time, in other localities, it has brought a criminalization of biblical preaching. In other words, when people have preached about biblical morality, heterosexual and homosexual, saying, you know, homosexuality is out and adultery and fornication is not in either, that folks have actually done time in jail and been fined. And so what we're facing today is the fact that there will be cases brought, there'll be accusations that we're inciting people to crimes, and further, we are dealing with the fact that if people are forced to perform an abortion, let's say you work for a hospital, or you're an organization like a Roman Catholic Church or the Deaconess Hospital in town, a Baptist hospital founded in those principles, and you have to now, because of changes in health care, you have to perform abortions or allow those to be given, it becomes a violation of conscience. Let me give you one last study. Friday, as soon as we made the declaration, Archbishop World, the head of the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of this area, and also someone who we are working with, their organization with Stand for Marriage DC, which is to protect marriage in the District of Columbia, he was asked immediately, well, how does this relate to Catholic charities serving the city? Here's a scenario real quick. Roman Catholic Church is partnering and is really working for the D.C. city government to give help in adoption, to give help in caring for homeless, to care for a third of the homeless people in the District of Columbia, and they also do some care in medical areas. They care for 68,000 people a year, and they give about $10 million of their own money to augment this work. With these changes and the massive expenses that they will cause, in terms of paying the wages of sin, if you want, we'll call it that, you will find that they will not be able to help as many people. In some areas, like adoption, they may have to go out of business. And what they're saying is, we want to serve the community, but we will not serve the community if we have to change what it means to be Catholic or evangelical or a Bible believer. And so if we consider certain things immoral, then we certainly won't be complicit in giving services like abortions to people, or as in funding, taking the money that we have raised to help the homeless and giving it as benefits to gay couples.
Bishop,
those are some of the issues.
Bishop Jackson, we only have about 30 seconds. In a nutshell, what do you hope to accomplish with the Manhattan Declaration? About 30 seconds.
Well, we hope to get a million people to sign on. We hope that folks will wake up and realize that there's a problem and we must come together. And we're sending a signal to the secularized world. You can push us, but only so far. Eventually, the sleeping giant will wake up.
Folks, you can read the Manhattan Declaration under the on-demand page of our website tonight, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Bishop Harry Jackson is senior pastor of Hope Christian Church in Beltsville, Maryland, founder and chairman of the High Impact Leadership Coalition, and he's one of the original signers of the Manhattan Declaration. Bishop Jackson, keep up the good work.
Thank you, Todd. What a privilege it is to be with you, and you as well. Keep up the good work.
When we come back from this break, we're going to do a little review of the movie that is raking in all the box office. Most of the tickets, and we're talking about $140, $160 million to date, I believe, most of the tickets being bought by tween girls, teenage girls, and their moms as well, sometimes even their grandmothers. Twilight, of course, is the series of books. New Moon is the film. Dr. Richard Stuckwish will join us for a review. He's pastor of Emmaus Lutheran Church in South Bend, Indiana. There's never a convenient time for Christians to express their unpopular views, and isn't it amazing how quickly our moral views became so very unpopular and controversial, much less the gospel of Jesus Christ we have to proclaim. When we come back, the movie Twilight, New Moon, Dr. Richard Stuckwish will be with us.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial will match 50 cents on each dollar you donate to Lutheran Public Radio, up to $300. So if you donate $300 to Lutheran Public Radio, Thrivent will send us an additional check for $150. For more information, look for the Thrivent Giving Plus gift form under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Make your gift to us go further with Thrivent Giving Plus.
Here's what Pastor Bill Swirla had to say on a recent Issues Etc. broadcast about the new Lutheran Study Bible.
What we've had in the past is the Lutheran revision of an NIV Study Bible, so there's always a certain yes, but character to it. This is done by Lutheran theologians and exegetes, and I think it's something that we can use confidently in our Bible studies and home devotions and other places.
You can purchase the new Lutheran Study Bible online. Just look for the cover at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Adoption, not abortion.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
When writer and TV host Bonnie Irbe wrote that an abortion was no tragedy, she referred to the supposed upswing in abortions due to the waning economy. The reasoning goes that if a woman cannot afford to take care of another child, both she and her other children are better off without it. But this equation leaves out a wonderful option available to a mother: adoption. The economy has not changed the fact that thousands of couples in the U.S. long to adopt newborn babies. Adoption gives a childless couple a chance at parenthood and a child a chance at life.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.